afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Pastor Butch Paul, and we're going to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Thursday, December 12th, 2019. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Melody. How are you doing today?
I'm doing really well. Thank you very much.
Praise the Lord. You know, I figure if we're feeling well, we can move around a little bit, and God bless us with a healthy body today, and we have nothing to complain about. We're blessed.
We have nothing to complain about.
We are blessed. We really are.
We are. How about
more than we deserve, put that way.
How about that? Yes.
Now,
when those days are not so well, and even those who, you know, through trials and tribulations, there's always something to be thankful for and to know
I
that we're blessed.
You. I guarantee you, whether the day is considered good or bad, they're going to pass.
It's a little harder. It's a little harder to recognize it, but
the days fly by anyway. Try to do the best you can with them because it's a gift from God for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
And understand Romans 8:28 and the promise to give this that all things work to our good if we love and serve Him. I have to know it's for my good somewhere. Some days I wonder why, but I'm not in charge. He is. So I just try to enjoy today.
Absolutely.
I do. And I know that day you asked me if I had something on the lighter side. Before we get into serious stuff, I want to share a couple things with you, if you don't mind.
I don't mind.
These are actual sayings of young folks, young babies, okay? Melody, age 5, asked her granny how old she was. Granny replied she was so old she didn't remember anymore. Melody said, well, if you don't remember, you must look at in the back of your panties. Mine says 5 to 6. All right. Brittany, age 4, had an earache and wanted a painkiller. She tried in vain to open the lid of the bottle. Seeing her frustration, her mom explained it was a child-proof cap and she'd have to open it for her. Eyes wide with wonder, the little girl asked, how does it know it's me? And one more. This particular Sunday morning sermon, the pastor, the dear Lord, the minister began with arms extended toward heaven and a rapturous look on his upturned face. Without you, we are but dust. He would have continued, but at that time, my very obedient daughter was listening, leaned over to me and asked quite audibly in her shrill little voice, 4-year-old girl voice, Mom, what is butt dust? But you see, the little girl asking that, and Mom said, oh, my gosh. Well, I want to share this with everybody today. Folks, life is good, and children, the things they do and say make life bearable. And I can tell you one thing about my middle son, James. He's just old enough to be in his training pants, just wearing his training shorts. And he came in the bedroom one day, and I was still in bed. He's standing beside me, and he had his training shorts on backwards. I said, Jamie, you got your shorts on back. You have to take them off, turn them around, put them back on. He said, oh, Dad. I said, no, I'm serious, Jamie. Your shorts on back. Take them off, turn them around, put them back on. He took them off, laid them on the floor, picked them up, turned himself around, and put them back on the same way. he thought I meant, he took it literally. He turned himself around. Okay, there you go, folks. See, life is good. We can laugh all the way through if we try.
Yes, we can.
Those are good memories.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm very sure.
I'm sure he'd be honored to know that. I'm sure he'd be honored to be told. I mean, he's 43 years old now. I'm sure he'd be glad I told everybody that. But anyway.
On a worldwide program.
There you go. Oh, not gosh. Just, all right, go ahead, Melody. I'll shut up now.
Not just in the States, but around the world.
Around the world. He's famous now. The guy has shorts on backwards.
He's famous. I know you remember the Art Linkletter program.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes, kids say the darndest things.
They do.
And, you know, I think they're bringing that program back. But, you know, it just isn't the same because Art Linkletter...
It is near the same.
When he was dealing with those children, he also had the look of wonderment when they would say, you know, it was...
Yes.
I mean, he was just like a little kid, too. And that's really what made it special. And I saw some excerpts from this new program with the little kids and so forth. And I think it's a female that's... I don't even know who it is. And it just... It was cute, but it just wasn't the same because she just wasn't
It wasn't near the same, no.
And she just didn't have that wonderment of what these children were saying, and you know, but and I don't understand why they don't run those programs. You know, it'd be lovely. It would be fantastic to see those old programs with Art Linkletter. They were awesome. Now that we've discussed,
they were awesome.
Discussed childhood sayings and jokes and events, let's get into the gold and silver prices right now. We have gold, a little pressure on gold, down 5.30, but still holding the 14.70. Silver was up 9 pennies today at 17.03. Platinum was up $8, 949. Palladium was up 32 at 1,953. The USDX today was stronger, 0.15, 97.28. Crude oil was up 65 cents at 59.41. And the market struggled all day until President Trump vowed the trade deal is close. So the Dow was up 220 points at 28,132. The NASDAQ was up 63 points at 8,717. The S&P was up 26 at 3,168. 10-year yield, 1.90%. That's going to keep popping higher. And Hong Kong was higher. All Asian and European markets were stronger overnight, probably with the anticipation of a trade deal being done. But, you know, I mean, that's the news. And yes, we're trade deals on, trade deals off, trade deals on, trade deals off. And, you know, we've seen this for 2 years. And now the U.S. reaches, out of a Bloomberg, the U.S. reaches a tentative agreement in principle. I don't know what that means, but it seems that the U.S. negotiators have reached the terms of a Phase 1 trade deal with China that now awaits President Donald Trump's approval. Trade advisors were set to meet with the president at 2:30 to discuss the agreement. An announcement could come up by day's end. Terms have been agreed, but the legal text has yet been finalized. The administration has reached out to allies on Capitol Hill and in the business community to issue statements of support once the announcement is made. Butch. Butch.
Yes. Yeah, I'm right here. And I just read an article that in Reuters that China's warned us if they said Trump is going to proceed with this on December 15th with the boycotts. He's going to move forward with it which would be Monday, I guess. That'll be Sunday. And China warns if he does that, we're going to retaliate. So I don't know. Is this back?
Well, I don't think
again?
He's going to. Well, and you're right. He's not going to. That's why they're coming to some sort of a deal. But in principle,
so they change your mind. Okay.
But when you talk about when something is done in principle, you know, it's kind of like, well, yeah, I'll buy your house for $200,000. Well, I'll agree. You know, for $200,000, we come to an agreement in principle. But then when you get the house inspectors in and, you know, you get down to the nitty-gritty for deposits and, you know, how much down and the financing and everything else, it could all change. It could all fall through. To me, I think this is the same. The terms have been agreed to, but they don't have the legal text yet. It hasn't been finalized. But what's interesting about this is they're reaching out to Capitol Hill and in the business community just to issue statements of support. I mean, why, once the announcement is made, they want all the business community to come out and say that this is the greatest thing? You know, why would you release that information like that? Am I looking at something that I find odd? I mean, isn't that kind of like lying?
Well, it's telling me like it is. It certainly does. So I don't know. Melody, it's politics. And I don't want to sound negative about politics, but how many lies have we heard in politics? So, I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine on that one.
Anyway, so it looks like we're, and I'm glad, you know, hey, if this is good for the United States, I'm glad. But I think who it's really good for is the banks. I think it's going to be really good for Wall Street. And to some degree, that's good for half of the people here or part of the people here that have their retirement accounts and so forth. So, yeah, you'll be rewarded. But, you know, that is, you know, a lot of this in the phase one is supposed to include the Chinese commitments to do more to stop intellectual property theft. Oh, you're going to believe that one? Oh, yeah, we're going to do that. And an agreement by both sides not to manipulate the currencies. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're not going to manipulate our currencies. No, we're not going to do
that. Of course we're not.
Of course not. Of course not. Put off for later discussions or knotty issues such as longstanding U.S. complaints over the vast web of subsidies ranging from cheap electricity to low-cost loans that China has used to build its industrial might. Well, that's not going to be addressed. So how is that going to help jobs, bringing manufacturing jobs back to the States? We do know that businesses are leaving China, smaller ones, but they're not coming here. Oh, maybe a handful or two, maybe, which is better than nothing. I agree, and I applaud. Most of them are going to Vietnam and other Asian countries because they can't compete here in the United States. I don't know how hard that is to understand.
Well, obviously, that's why my business has left the country over the last several years. Competition, they can't. I mean, they can't. It's impossible. Whether you like it or not, it doesn't change the truth. They left because they couldn't afford to maintain it here.
Oh, they could afford it. They could afford it. But what would you do? Would you rather make 1% or 130%?
That's the whole point.
You know?
But to make the profits they're making now, if they would have stayed here, they would have had to raise their prices too.
And people in this country wouldn't be owning 3, 4, 5 TVs in their homes. They wouldn't have 2 cars in their driveway.
Right.
And I don't know what American really wants to give that up. They're going to have to judge. Are we going to do less to have jobs? Because, you know, people think that if we bring jobs back that we'll have better wages and we'll be able to buy those things anyway at the higher cost. No, you won't.
Didn't work that way.
Doesn't work that way. So
it'd be nice if we would have maintained the idea that we had back in the 50s and was working very well to sustain ourselves. Everything we need was made in USA. Everything was made in USA, from our food to our appliances to our cars. If we could have maintained that stand, America would have been much more sound today in every way possible, including, of course, economics. But we lost that. We lost it. And we started out with trade deals here, there, yonder, and NAFTA and GATT and more and more and more. And we were warned it's going to draw jobs away from the country. It's going to hurt the country in the long run. You remember years ago, back in the 90s, there was a song out. I think it's entitled "Eat Your Import." I don't know if you remember that or not, but it's talking about the economy going. You know, people got jobs, or they're going hungry, and they're driving they imported cars. So just eat your import. So you know, it did cut back on jobs here. I mean, obviously, GM, Ford, Chrysler, all of them shut down plants and moved to other places. That's just the way it is, folks. They want to make more profit, and if they would have stayed here, like I wish you would have, the cars would have cost more. But in the long run, I think we've been better off. But who am I?
Well, like the thing of it is, it really wasn't. I mean, we opened, and it is true, we opened up our borders, but nobody else did. You know, so all by design, all by the corporate welfare, all by the multinational conglomerates and yada yada yada. So it's no surprise there. So I guess the good news is, you know, to keep this on a upbeat, yay if we're getting close to a trade China agreement. Yay, it should be good for the election year next year. It'll be good for your pensions and everything. And I think that's about all I can think of.
Well, you know, I got a little article here out of the Week magazine that I get here for a ministry, and also that I use in a church study out of, but to show the current events. But this is a sad statement. I know we knew it was bad, but I didn't know it was just bad. And listen to this, Melody. There are 173,656 fewer farms in the U.S. than there were 20 years ago. Aging out is a reason. The average age of a farm owner or manager in 2017 was 58.6, more than 8 years older than in the early 1980s. So we've lost 174,000 farms in 20 years. That's a lot of food production, is it not?
It truly is.
It's a sign of a time change, an era change that's so sad. It truly, truly is sad to see that. 174,000 farms that went out, and the average age is almost 60 years old. Who's going to take over when they retire? I mean, why would a kid want to stay on the farm, work 15, 16 hours a day, and get by when he can go to the city somewhere and give him a job making 30, 40 bucks an hour?
You know, it'd be interesting to see a breakdown on that, on how much of that farmland was turned into housing developments, and how many of those acreages of those farms were bought up by, you know, the conglomerates.
Yes. Yes, it would be. It would be good. I mean, but that to me breaks my heart, because, I mean, I think most people have a soft spot in their heart for the idea of living on a farm. You know, I mean, really, I do. I mean, I grew up in a rural area, of course, animals and cows and chickens and hogs, whatever. I mean, I grew up with that. And to me, it touches my heart to see the farms are going down that fast. Not only does it break my heart for them, but it does hurt all of us in the long run, Millie. We have to buy the food from somewhere. We're still getting more people every day. We got to eat. So where's it coming from now? Importing it. So the American farmer is getting less money. That's just the way it is.
No, I saw on a, it was like middle of the night, and I saw this report on this town. And, you know, I started, and we're talking about, you know, the farmlands, and, you know, you hear a lot about, you know, the flyover land and the overlooked and so forth, and what's happening to these little communities. And this was the first time that I heard where the city government chose to open and run the local grocery store.
Oh, my.
Yeah. And, you know, mainly my. Because the normal local, the local grocery store couldn't make ends meet, so they closed, and the city government came in, and they're running the local grocery store. And it was interesting because a lot of the people that, you know, the people who lived there loved it. They loved it.
Yeah, but the taxpayer is going to end up paying for it. But they wouldn't lose money. They'll just tax people for it.
Yep. Hey, we're heading into a break right now, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And, you know, we were talking about this little town that the city government chose to open and run a local grocery store. And it's these stories, Butch, are going unnoticed. I think these little changes across this country are going unnoticed, and I'm going to get a lot of folks upset with me by me saying this, but I mean, I also have hope, but we're not going to go back to the 1950s. That's gone. We're not going to go back to the 60s. We're not going to go back to the 70s. We're not going to go back to the 80s, 90s. It's not going to happen. And what's sad is, what I think is sad is you have these little stories in these communities. They're changing. And they're not. It's not being noticed because there's a bigger hope on the hill. And to me, it's distractions to prevent people. You know, I was on Facebook today, and I have two of my friends from high school. And one is a real strong, you know, 130% President Trump. And that's okay. That's okay. We get along. We don't, you know, we're great. But she put something in there, and one of the other high school friends made a comment. And the first one wrote back and says, yeah, but this is the greatest economy, blah, 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 that has ever been and so forth and whatnot. The other gal wrote back and said, I never even mentioned the economy. So this is how the thinking, and I found that fascinating. Because right away there was just a talk, and right away the person defended the administration and President Trump without even really reading or thinking what that person was saying.
It's called mind control.
Yeah.
You hear it long enough, you're going to start repeating it. I mean, that's, and you, especially if you want to believe it.
Well, we used to say that about Obama.
Sure.
The people who were supporters of Obama. They just parroted everything that was, you know, that they were told to say. But, I mean, it was really interesting. It surprised me that the one gal just didn't ignore it. She came back and was like, well, I never even mentioned the economy. And I typed in there, now girls. But, yeah, so I found that interesting. But anyway.
Well, again, that's, if you want to believe this, if you want to believe a lie, then it's easier to accept that than it is to know the truth. And that's just the way it is. And people in this country have been deceived for so long that it's not too hard to fool me longer. We're told it's the greatest economy. Anyone with any sense can look around and see it's not, but that's beside the point. The news said it was. Mm-hmm. Somebody said it was. Mm-hmm. But yet, I just reading here that the U.S. corporate debt is nearly $10 trillion, or a record 47% of the overall economy. Mm-hmm. Wow. That's a lot of money. Corporate debt. So they're growing.
Well, actually, it exceeds households debt for the first time since 1991.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, so corporations they're growing, but they're going in debt. Mm-hmm. You borrow money to grow your business, you're going in debt. Hopefully, you pay it back, but that's not guaranteed, is it?
No.
And America's credit card debt is reaching a 10-year high. Now, Trump's been in office for 3 years. If the economy is so good, why are people going more in debt with credit card? Do you believe they're going to make more money and pay it all back? The borrowers on the card are at least 90 days past due. Will go up at least 2%. They can't pay back what they have put on credit. I don't know. Maybe I'm just looking at something wrong, but I hate credit. You can't get ahead by going in debt. Now, I understand sometimes you got to have something, you can't wait. You might want to put on credit card or something you need right away. But Melody, isn't it wise to pay these things off at least once a month? You follow what I'm saying?
Sure. Yeah, you know, absolutely.
Think what it saves you on interest rates alone.
Mm-hmm.
But credit card.
Are you there?
Economy in history. You go figure. I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Can you hear me? Okay.
Yes.
I mean, the credit card debt is going to reach a 10-year high with the greatest economy in history. Okay. Go figure. I'll shut up and let you go now.
Well, no, I mean, said it all. I mean, it's, that's why they want cheap money. That's why, you know, the rates were getting too high. It wasn't about people out there buying things, homes and mortgages and things like that. It was part of it. But the big deal of it was they needed these corporations. They couldn't roll their debt over with those higher rates, and it was beginning to kill them. So they needed to drop those rates so they could roll over their debt. And they got to keep. They're gonna use other people's money for as long as they can, and they all know that it's not gonna be paid back. So why wouldn't you? You're just gonna go along just like the government.
Sure, absolutely. That's the whole point. And how many trillion now have they dumped in the repo over the last month? So, I mean, it's in the trillions now. It's not just in the billions. I'm gonna guess in front of figuring my head roughly about 3 trillion. I'm guessing, maybe more than that. I have no idea. Mm-hmm. But when you stop and think about that, they're floating the market. I know mm-hmm. they say their loans are going to get paid back. I understand that. But they're floating the market with that.
They're floating
that's the idea.
Market.
The banks, that's all they're doing. And eventually, and it's supposed to last, a few days? It's been, a month now or longer?
Yes, middle of September.
Since you started doing this?
Middle of September.
Yes, it's been 2 months. Almost 3 months.
Three months.
So, folks, we got to look at this because this is for real. They're floating the market. And it's going to cause inflation. And I just read an article the other day that when the Fed start printing more money, it takes about six to eight months for the inflation to start really coming in from the extra influx of paper in the markets. So it's been, let's say, 3 months. So we're maybe 3 months out before we start seeing the inflation rate going up significantly because of the influx of the trillions of dollars being pumped into the banks to keep the market afloat. It caused inflation. Inflation causes higher taxes, and it looks like everybody's making more, but they're making less. It's just that simple, people. And so I don't know what to say. That's simple as I can put it. It is what it is.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I've been reading a lot of, about these repos and so forth, and it's interesting because they're trying to make excuses for it, and they say, well, it's really no big deal and so forth and whatnot. And as long as interest rates don't rise, or inflation rises, we're good. It's not going to hurt, and, we can just keep doing it and so forth. Well, you know what, ladies and gentlemen, nothing stays the same forever. You're going to have higher rates. You're going to have higher inflation. There is going to be a hiccup. And they might be good, but they're not that good. And the whole point of the money being pumped in there, the Federal Reserve, is to keep rates down. Because that was the whole point. You had a spike in the rate for up to, it was 10% when the Fed initially got in there. So with the Fed doing it, it's keeping these rates down. So that means the Fed isn't going to stop. They have to keep doing it. Because what's going to keep the rates down? And, Butch, everybody knows. Everybody knows. And personally, what I think this is a real big, it is a big deal. And that's why it's part of the trade agreement. Because the United States wants China to open their markets to our financial products. That's what it's all about. It isn't about manufacturing. It isn't about anything else. That's just, you might be a little bit of a bonus there, It isn't about a trade deficit. Those are political BS.
Yes, that's it.
They're talking points. It's all about the financial markets and having China open it up. Now, I don't know what the People's Republic, their bank, you know, it's, you know, but I'm sure, you know, whatever China's going to do, they'll safeguard it. But, hey, look at the trillions of dollars that they've gone into debt. But, you know, oh, we'll help the U.S. out a little bit for now. It's amazing.
It is amazing. And of course, you know, the jobless claims are up quite a bit, too, more than they thought they would be. You know that already.
Yeah.
And they said, you know, they were confused. The jobless claims, they soared, they said. So I don't know. If this great economy, then the jobless claims should be going down, not up. And the Fed is going to maintain, I guess, the status quo with the rate right now, right? Is that true?
Correct.
They're not going to raise it. They're not going to raise it. They're going to keep it about the same, right?
That is correct.
Okay, I was just trying to remember what I read. So they're not going to go negative yet. They're going to try to keep it the same. And I don't know, Melody, this is scary. If they do go negative, it may look good on paper. And they're not far from it now.
It's going to look good on paper. Well, if you add in inflation.
If
you add in inflation, they're already negative. But, I mean, you know, the thing of it is, I mean, Powell knows. I mean, you know, with the strongest economy in the history of the United States, it's kind of hard to argue to drop those rates. So they found a place, they found a soft spot that they can hold the rates the same. They can pump money in. They're buying back treasuries. They're pumping money in the repo market. So, yeah, we don't have to raise rates. We were able to settle the rates. Like I said, you know, it went up. The first time they started putting money into the aftermarket loans, you know, the rate spiked to 10%. They had to go in there. So right now, it's a balancing act.
Yes, it is.
So
it is.
It's a balancing act.
You know, and even with this article says feds collect record taxes through November, but still run $343.3 billion deficit with second highest spending in nation's history. This, folks, this is something to think about. They have their record high taxes and still deficit. The federal government collected a record tax revenues of $470.706 billion in October and November, the first 2 months of fiscal 2020. Despite collecting that record amount in taxes, however, the federal government still ran a deficit of $343.360 billion. In October, November. So it spent $814.12 billion in those 2 months, but they collected $470 billion roughly. So they're still going in the hole and collecting record taxes, Melody. Now, what? Please explain to me how we got a big tax cut, but still, what are they collecting taxes on? Corporation got a tax cut. We suppose all got a tax cut. I didn't. Maybe somebody did. So where are the taxes coming from?
Well, the, you know, increase in stock markets, and, you know, that's another reason they need to it's another reason they need to keep that stock market up, because that's where they're getting their taxes, a large part of it.
So they're still spending a lot more than bringing in.
Sure.
But no one pays attention to that. That's not even mentioned. I mean, that's not even mentioned. It really amazes me that not one candidate's mentioning we need to cut the budget. All of them say we need to spend more. Free education, free Medicare. Melody, no one's even talking about trying to cut back on things. That's a bygone era now. No one cares.
So much for the fiscal Republican.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, it makes you kind of wonder, though, what you're thinking. I mean, there's no one out in this country that will say they're the voters. Does no one catch the idea that they're not even talking about cutting the budget? We're talking about spending more. Are we going to vote for somebody that's going to say that? Well, obviously we have. We have in the past. We'll do it again. But most people, that if somebody promised them something for nothing, they're going to vote for them. No matter what the future holds, they're going to vote for them. So, but no one's talking about cutting back on budgets. They're just spending more money all the time, raising taxes over a period of time, but still losing ground every day. So, go figure.
Well, Well, I think we've gotten to the point, you know, everybody knows we're at a point of no return. And there's no way, you know, we're past the point of where we can, you know, pull ourselves out of this debt. And so everyone's accepted that. So I guess we don't have to talk about it anymore because everybody knows where we're heading. Everybody knows where we're going and how, you know, we just don't know how long it's going to last. But the bigger, longer it lasts, the worse it's going to be. And that's a sad thing.
It is. It truly is. And all we're doing is passing it down to the next generation, as has been done to us from our mom and dad. But, you know, ignorance is a destruction. It can be a destruction of society. When people don't keep informed what's happening, and they're not even concerned, maybe enough to try to be informed, that just passes the next generation a whole lot bigger debt and a whole lot more headaches to deal with. And that's just what's happened in America in our lifetime and before our lifetime even. So,
and you know what, it's really our generation too. Because we're not teaching those below us. Yeah, we're not teaching the youth under us of what's really going on. I think it was our generation, maybe it's our generation who caused it. It was our generation who was aware of it, but we're not teaching anyone about it. We just allowed it to happen, I guess.
Well, you know, on my grandma and grandpa's watch, things started sliding pretty quickly under Roosevelt, and no one caught it because they thought it was going to be great benefits. They didn't. They didn't think that was socialism. They didn't consider that because they're all going to get something for what, well, basically nothing. And they did, and it's gotten worse ever since then. Every generation since then, my grandma and grandpa, my dad, us, and our children are still paying for that. Still paying for that. And they took the gold out of our money back in the 1930s, the silver out in 1964. But the masses were so ignorant by the time this happened, no one paid attention to what being going.
No one paid any attention. And here we are today.
Yes, we are. Sitting here thinking with the paper dollars without backing anything. And now the next article I'll share after the break is Slovakia wants the gold back. They want to bring it home. I mean, people are starting to wake up to this idea.
Governments are.
That's what I'm saying. The governments are waking up that they have to have the gold back to keep the nation on solid footing. Mm-hmm. So it's amazing that the nation has seen it. People should see it. If the nation see it, it looks like the citizens look at, hey, the government's getting gold back in its coffers. Maybe we should think about the same thing.
Yeah, but you know what?
Protect their wealth.
I mean, in support of the folks, I mean, even the listeners to this program, I mean, you listen and you watch the news and everything is great. It's really hard to believe that it's not. You see all the businesses boom, you see buildings going on, you see home prices rising and so forth. It's hard to see through that facade, but a facade it is. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two Black Berkey Elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And you wanted to talk about something.
I did. A top Slovak party leader wants the country to bring its gold home. Now, I thought this is interesting. A top Slovak political party official said his country should bring its gold home because even the allies can not trust it with it. Amen. Ex-premier Robert Fico chairs the biggest party in Slovakia. Last week, he called for a special parliamentary session on the country's gold. He said the country's gold reserves are not safe in England because of Brexit and the possibility of a global economic crisis. Fico said you can hardly trust even your closest allies after the Munich Agreement, referring to the 1938 pact that allowed Hitler to annex part of Czechoslovakia. I guarantee if that something happens, we won't see a single grain of this gold. Let's do it as quickly as possible. So they got their eyes open. They know that this gold should be in their personal possession. Folks, I'm saying this, if you are buying precious metals, don't have them anywhere except in your own possession. Don't have it anywhere but your own possession. Do not have it in a safety deposit box or somewhere in paper that you can get it later. Get it in your own hands. It's that important. Now, am I telling the truth, Melody?
Absolutely, you are.
You know, I mean, I'm not saying that the banks are going to intentionally cheat you, but if there's a bank run, guess who they're going to look out after first? If you got a safety deposit box, guess who the bank's going to look after first? So, I mean, think about this, people. Think about that. They're going to take care of themselves. Matter of fact, the law has been passed already that they can take your savings account to cover the debt. That's also the truth, isn't it, Melody?
It is.
So, people, don't put get it in your own hands. If you have to, buy a little safe somewhere. Just get it in your own hands. Don't leave it lay around in somebody else's possession. It's not yours if you can't get your hands on it. I think it's a very fair statement. Any comments on that?
No. I mean, they hear it from me every day, day in and day out. And, you know, we were talking about the future generations, and I think gold is one of the best things. You know, if you care about your children and you want to leave them something and you're concerned about your grandchildren and the kind of world that they're going to live in, what a great way. You know, at least it preserves the purchasing power from generation to generation. So it's a great way to help protect them for the future of our debt, because it will mean something someday. It could be tomorrow.
Leaving something tangible behind. Something's going to be worth something. If everything falls to pieces, even if gold drops down to $10 an ounce, which is ridiculous, it ain't going to happen. But if it did, it'd be worth more than a paper dollar.
Yeah.
You know, so this is what people think about. Gold will never go to nothing. Neither will silver. And I do like silver. I do. I like gold, too. Don't get me wrong. But I like silver. Silver is a poor man's wealth protector. You don't have enough money to buy gold, for goodness sake, buy some silver. I know that's what helped me through a lot of situations, helped pay off my land and house and everything, so I'm very tickled to say that I was smart enough to buy some silver and get this thing put together 20 years ago. Back when silver was $3 an ounce. That's been a while back, hasn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
And I guess you heard this too, that Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, takes a bigger role in China trade talks. I guess you heard that, right?
I did.
President Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, has added another role to his long list of White House duties, U.S.-China trade negotiator. Washington and Beijing are trying to reach an initial agreement to avoid U.S. tariffs on December 15th. Speaking on the condition of anonymity, the official said Kushner has recently met with Kutanka, the Chinese ambassador to the United States. Not only is he working on that, he's also working with Mexico to push them to come across and get things moving. And Ivanka said they've only just begun. So Kushner and Ivanka kind of dropped out of the picture for a bit. All of a sudden, boom, they're back in the picture. I don't know what that's supposed to mean, but they're there again.
Well, I haven't heard anything lately. The Middle East peace plan that was supposed to be done in two phases, but I figured now everything is getting done in phases. That maybe he is behind it or going to be behind it. But he basically either came out to take credit. But my question is, all the people for 2 years that have been working on the China trade deal, and now all of a sudden Kushner comes in and, you know, at the end of the deal where, you know, everybody is plotting, businesses are being encouraged to go out and talk about what a great deal it is and so forth. Is Kushner going to get the credit for it for the past 2 years? And maybe he was behind it. I don't know. Maybe he was behind it. But we know he's a favorite of Mexico's because when they had the meeting down in South America, he left the meeting. Was it the G20 meeting or G7? One of those down there. He left the meeting early to go to Mexico for the inauguration, I believe it is, of the new president last year, and he got the highest award that Mexico could give a foreigner. So they do like him down there, and they rewarded him. And it's I never thought it was right. I never liked the idea that you have children, your children, being your advisor, and there's just something wrong with it. Not to say there hasn't been any other administration that had things wrong with it, but you just don't. And I was vocal on those too, so I'm vocal on this. I don't care that they never took a drink before. I don't care they look like Barbie and Ken. I don't care that it's just, there's just something about it that's not right.
Well, this is
not for this country.
I agree. And it's just, this is just me talking now. Nothing about them personally. They might be some of the finest people in the world, but you look those two together, they don't look real. I'm serious. They don't even look like they're real. They're too perfect. If you know what I mean.
That's what billions of dollars will do for you when you're raised in that in that lifestyle. I mean, look at the Queen. I mean, she gets around pretty good for being, 90? I mean, you eat healthy. You have your own farms. You have your own chefs. You have your own, this is what we would look like if we didn't have to eat all that GMO food, so forth, that they've shoveled, that they give us, that they make us eat. That's what we would look like.
Well, but to look at him and know that he's involved in the Middle East and help move the American embassy to Jerusalem. He's involved in the treaty or the trade deal talks with China, Mexico, and all the other countries. That's kind of spooky. I don't know what's going on there. We'll find out. Time will tell. As always, it always does. It does.
Yeah, and I didn't think it was right, for Bush Senior and Bush Junior. That wasn't right either.
No, it wasn't. But that's what it is. And you probably saw this too. A high-level North Korea defector implores Trump to foment coup. Tells President he's been duped, which is likely, but. Is a high-level defector from Kim Jong-un's regime and sent a letter to President Trump warning that he had been tricked into believing the North Korean leader will ever denuclearize and that Washington should instead ramp up a psychological warfare campaign aimed at inspiring North Korea elites to replace a young dictator from within. The U.S. should simultaneously impose all-out sanctions against Pyongyang and be prepared to carry out, now listen to this, Melody, preemptive strike against Mr. Kim's nuclear sites, according to the letter, a copy which was obtained by the Washington Times. The warning comes as the White House seeks refreshed momentum for Mr. Trump's historic personal diplomatic outreach to Mr. Kim in the face of a slew of provocative military moves, rhetorical outbursts, and more than a dozen ballistic missile tests by Pyongyang in the recent months. So this guy is urging, now this is, somebody else saying that, this isn't our government saying it, but they're urging us to call to get a coup moved in North Korea and even consider a preemptive strike. Wow, that's pretty strong talk. I mean, even from a defector, that's a strong talk.
It is.
You know, I mean, that is right up being scary.
That is, and it's... I don't know if he tricked Donald Trump or not. To me, I think the beginning was probably sincere, but I also believe that once you get China and Russia behind you, things change. And I mean, you could become more bold if you got the two biggest, you got China and Russia behind you, along with Iran. And then I think it changes. It changes the whole thing.
You become a lot braver.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're saying, you get a lot braver, a lot bolder.
And particularly since the new president got in there a couple years ago down in South Korea. You know, and they South Korea wanted that oil pipeline opened up that would go through North Korea. So, I mean, you know, those relationships were being groomed, and so it's not surprising. It's not surprising at all.
But. Well, Ricky, this hour's going by fast. And I guess you saw, too, that they're apprehending more African illegals crossing the border in Texas. Now, of course, anyone that has any common sense knows that all those across the border illegally are not all Mexicans. They've been Middle Easterners, Chinese. Now they're saying the African migrant people are getting in numbers again across the border. So the southern border is not just bleeding Mexicans, Mel. It's bleeding all backgrounds, is it not?
Yes.
Now, again, if these are refugees and they can't afford to get out of the country, how do they get to Mexico to get across the border? Somebody explain, if people are too poor to even stay in their own country, how do they get from where they are, from Africa or China, to Mexico, and then get across the border in America?
I think the churches have a lot to do with it also.
Well, that could be. I know the Catholic Church has been doing this for a while,
but
I mean, they must have a lot of money to spend.
They must.
They're coming across by the thousands, you know?
Well,
and that's not a good sign. That's not a good
thing. Comes from Rome.
It does.
From Rome. Yeah.
It does. And that's, of course, you're bringing in who knows what's crossing with them. Who knows what? Literally, I mean, sleeper cells we heard about for years? I don't know. But that's just another weak point. You're bringing all kinds of trouble. And now, in Virginia, now, folks, this is heating up. I sent you a 6-minute video, Mel D, of a gentleman speaking Fairfax, Virginia, talking to some of the local legislatures there, warning them that they're about ready to go to civil war. Now, this is on you. You can go to watch that, folks. 6 minutes. Go to PastorButch.com. PastorButch.com. Look up 6-minute speech from a guy from Virginia. But he's also a major in the National Guard. So he's not like some kind of fly-by-night nobody. His wife is, he both are college graduates and really highly intelligent. But he told them, if you try to push this gun issue through, and that the Democrats are talking about right now, there's going to be a war. As a matter of fact, a Virginia sheriff, this is in, his name is Scott Jenkins, he's of Culpeper County, has said that he will deputize 1,000 men from his own county to stop them from confiscating guns in his county. Now, this is war talk. I mean, the sheriff, Melody, is saying, we will not allow this. We will deputize enough people that we'll have a small army here to stop you from doing this. He said, I can swear on all the people I want to. This is scary talk. It is. So I don't know what's going to lead to, but I don't want to see bloodshed. But you know, if the other side keeps pushing, someone will start pushing back. You have any comments on that?
No, that's, you know, I'm not a fan of. I believe this country will see social unrest, but I think it's going to. I don't think it's going to come from that, but I think it's going to come from other areas. But anyway,
I think it's going to come from multiple areas. To tell you the truth, I think it's going to come from multiple areas. This could be one of them. This could very well be one of them. But you know, Dimitri Dubin, a gentleman who prophesied back here in the 80s in this country what was going to happen to America, and I'm watching his prophecies come to pass. He said that we would go to civil war, and that's when we were hit from the south, from countries like Mexico, other nations of the south of the border, and even Russia will come up through the south. And this is what he said. Now it's going to happen. I don't know. I'm not a prophet, but I've seen a lot of things. He said that to come to pass. He said that a lot of this strife will start in the middle of the country, and spread both directions. So we will see. I don't know. But I know when a sheriff talks about having a revolution, so to speak, that's not something that I don't think he's saying very lightly.
No.
I don't think so. So just thought I'd share that with you for whatever it's worth. And one more thing, Trump just signed an executive order, 13834. Executive order 13834. That's going to require cities to take their toilet water, their sewage water, re-clean it, and put it in the taps so people can drink it. Now, that's a fact, folks. Check it out. Order 13834. Trump just signed it. That's going to make the municipal sewer water safe for drinking. And that's impossible. The drugs and chemicals in that water cannot be done. And Washington State is now dumping bodies as fertilizer on their crops. Folks, I'm not making this up. This is for real. It's a sludge that human bodies dumped on crops. We're out of time.
Yeah, I saw when he had he was talking about that water issue and something like that, and he didn't sound very well informed.
No, he wasn't.
And so, and I don't know who he signed it for, and who was backing it, and so forth. But I don't think he really understood what was going on. We're out of time. We'll be back tomorrow. So until then, be safe. Good night, and God bless.